favorite husband. It's not someone from Quebec, is it? I hope not. The CDs. I must say that it's all done by volunteer. We buy the things, we send it out in, and then the CDs, DVDs, CDs, and then another thing you should know, Les listens to us and he edits, because we'll stop and pause and, you know, I have to get a glass of water, a little sip or something, and he takes all that out and smooths it out for us. So it's pretty nice. Also, Brianna, thank you very much. A few years ago, Brianna would get in front of us and she would play, and it would squeak and pop, and we would hear all these off notes, and I didn't hear, where is she? She's back there. Hi. That's wonderful. No squeaks, no pops, no nothing, and everybody's... And she's going to college and learning how to be sassy. Hang in there, Mark. Oh, you're a good group. Okay. Well, one thing we do, I tell our congregation, we need more. We need meat, not milk. You guys have all been in this game long enough that we have to get down now and stop fiddling around with the peripheral stuff and get down to it and not mess around. It's time for us. So, me too. And we have to do these things now. So this message, I guess, is for you and for me. I'm going to talk about perseverance and hanging in there. So I have two questions for you, and I'll ask you the question, and then I'll go through and answer them. How's that? So set back, keep your Bible, and we'll go through a few scriptures. So how did we end up keeping the Feast of Tabernacles in Grand Junction? How did we ever do that in Grand Junction? You know, I don't think I ever heard of Grand Junction until our friends, the Chadwicks, told us to come down here and see if we might like to live here. And we end up in Fruita? My word, Fruita, as I used to call it. But how did that happen? Well, it actually started about 14 years ago. And we attended a feast, and it had really changed. They had a band there, and the band was so loud. I don't like loud music. I just don't. And it was so loud, I remember the place rocked and rolled, and it was one of these big auditoriums, hold several thousand people. I didn't like it. And they had these flashing lights. And I guess they thought that would convert me if they had these lights that would shine out and then turn all the lights off and then turn them back on. And it just gave me a headache. I don't get headaches easy. I don't have headaches. But I remember it was just more than I could take. Flashing lights and loud music. What's that got to do with this? So this happened, and also they started the altar call, and the first one, there was this fellow, and they hired him, and he said, if we'd all pray, and he had a prayer, and he said, now if you'll just look up and make eye contact with me, I'll know you gave your heart to Jesus. And I won't tell you what went on in my head. And then he said something like this. He said, just let your mind go blank. You remember that? Maybe things will enter it that shouldn't. See? That's the kind of, that's where we started. It was about 14 years ago. And it was the same thing the next year. And it was more convoluted than ever. See, I like things in order. I really do. I just like things that way. I don't know why. I guess it's just been in the Army a few years. And it became complicated to go to church. It became torturous. And worst of all, they became long-winded. And it went on and on and on over nothing. So over the next 2 years, I endured. We moved out here, lost my job, and we went to a feast in Denver, and it was a three-day feast. Started Friday evening, and then Saturday, and then Sunday, it was at a church, and they had services in the morning or something, and then we went in the afternoon, and finally we drove home. And I got to thinking, this will not work. I can't do this. I don't like loud music. I really don't. I guess I like good music that may be a little loud. And I certainly don't like flashing lights in my eyes, strobe lights or whatever those things are. And we got home, and I was a big complainer and whiner. But I said, this can't work. So let's go together. Go to Leviticus 23, and we'll read together. Leviticus 23:34. And this is Moses, and it's about the Feast of Tabernacles. And that's where we are today. In 34, 23, it says, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying," got a little feedback, "saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for the seventh days of the Lord. And 35, on the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and you shall do no customary work on it. For 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. And the eighth day you shall have a holy convocation, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. It is a sacred assembly, and you shall do no customary work on it. These are the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire to the Lord, a burnt offering and a grain offering, a sacrifice of drink offerings, everything on its day." Now, when Christ died, it said the offering, the sacrifice and the the sacrifices shall cease. Should have written that down. "Besides the Sabbath of the Lord, beside your gifts, beside all the vows, and besides all your freewill offerings which you gave to the Lord. And 39, also on the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep the feast of the Lord for 7 days. On the first day there shall be a Sabbath rest, and on the eighth day a Sabbath rest. And you shall take for yourselves on the first day of the fruit of the beautiful tree branches of the palm tree." Well, do you guys see a palm tree around here? There are no palm trees here, so I guess this will have to do. "And willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord and your God in 7 days. And you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord, 7 days of the year in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate the seventh month. You shall dwell in booths for 7 days. All who are native Israelites shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." So Moses declared to the children of Israel the feast of the Lord. So here we are. So I read that and said, okay, 3 days keeping the feast, that will make it. And people still do that. I heard, I think it was Canada, they're having a 3-day feast. It just, Man's way is not God's way. Figure it out. So around, it was around Passover, after that, going to Denver, that little trip over there, I talked to Dell, and I said, let's have the feast here. And Dell said, let me think it over. Well, that's good news. That sounds okay. That's fair. And later Dell came back, I think it was the next Sabbath, and he says, you know, I can't think of a reason why not. Why not? You know? He says, we need to keep the feast. So, we started, didn't we? We started. And so we went to the leadership of our church in another city back there in California, and we asked if we could put on a feast here in Grand Junction, and they said, yes, sure, go ahead. But, the big but, here we go again. They said, you'll lose money, you'll go broke, and you'll be sorry. Okay. And at that time, Dell and I, we just wanted to break even. We didn't want to break the bank. We just thought, well, if we can put this thing on and do it right, that, it'll come out okay. The first year we had it over here at St. Catherine Cellars. This way, it's right over here. It's in the back room, not in the where you come in, but in that secondary room. And we had 200 people there. And we got the information actually to go there from Dell's friend Bennett, the fellow that's going to give us the wine tour. He was talking to Dell and he says, well, listen, you want a place to meet. Why don't you try St. Catherine's? And we went over there. They wanted us. We wanted them. We wanted a place to meet. So we signed a contract. That was big time then, signing a contract. And I think we had enough money in our bank account at home. I said, well, let's go for broke. We can cover the bases. And Dell said, okay, here we go. I'll help you. And here we go. And so that's how we did it. And so we had our first feast at St. Catherine Cellars right over here. And the next 4 years, we're at the Adams Mark Hotel. And that's right downtown. And the second year we had at the Adams Mark, Dell got fired. So, they're all laughing, Dell. It wasn't very funny then, was it? So let me explain how this went about. And what we did is Dell said, look, you stick close to me. This guy wants to talk to me. He's a head honcho. He wants to talk to me, but you don't leave me. I said, I can do that. So, and the guy said, well, we don't need Coy. And Dell said, no, you stay in here with me. So I stuck with him, and we went off to the side. And this man said to Dell, he said, you don't have to believe it. You just have to teach it. You don't have to believe what we're telling. You don't have to believe, but you have to teach it. And we'll keep you employed. You know. Boy, that didn't go over too well. Because they wanted us to go to Sunday, Easter, Christmas, and these other names. And so, didn't happen. Go with me to John 8:30. John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. 8:30. Here's the words Christ is speaking. And in 8:30 of John, he says, as he spoke these words, many believed in him. And he's talking to the Jews. Here it is. Then Jesus said to those Jews, so he's talking to the Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Get it? He said, well, you don't have to believe it, just teach it. But the truth will set you free. And that just doesn't happen like that. It takes a while. to know God's truth and to know His Word. So go with me now to Psalms, I believe it's 119. Psalms 119 and 140. Yeah, we'll start in 140. Psalms 119 and 140. It starts and it says, "Your word is very pure, therefore your servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts, your word. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. Trouble and anguish have overtaken me." And about that time, for our church, it was hard. "Yet your commandments are my delights. Your righteousness of your testimony is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live." And 145, "I cry out with my whole heart, 'Hear me, O Lord. I will keep your statutes. I will cry out to you. Save me, and I will keep your testimonies. I rise before the dawning of the morning and cry for help. I hope in your word. My eyes are awake through the night watches, that I may meditate on your word. Hear my voice according to your loving kindness. O Lord, revive me according to your justice. They draw near who follow after wickedness. They are far from your law. They are far from your law." These people don't care. "You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. Concerning your testimonies, I have known of old that you have found them forever. Consider my affliction and deliver me." And get it, here it is. "For I do not forget your law." You here cannot forget his laws. "Plead my case and redeem me. Drive me according to your words. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Great are your tender mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your judgments. Many are my persecutors and my enemies, yet I do not turn from your testimonies. I see the treacheries, and I am disgusted, because they do not keep your word. Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. An entertain of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever." His word will endure forever. And you guys gotta grab hold of that and hang on to it, because we're going to be in for some bumpy times. So what happened is, Dell's fired. We had a meeting, and we told Dell, stay home, don't come to the meeting, because we're going to decide what we're going to do. And I thought that was fair. And he did. He stayed home. And we had a meeting in our church, and I think there's about 22, 24. And we sat down and we hammered out what we would do. And one of the things, we were going to make a list of all our assets, and we would give it to this church we were leaving. And they could pick what they wanted, and what they didn't want we'd keep, and what they wanted we'd give them, including the money in the bank. And we did that. They wanted the library and different things and the projector and some things, and we gave it all to them. And at that point, we started fresh. Started from square one there. And then we started having the feast, and that kind of became our trademark. But we also, you know, we did things we could do. We still advertise in the local paper. Tell them we have Sabbath services. We have now the radio station. Incidentally, if some of you out there, let's say in Portland, you could find a radio station, you know, I'm not opposed to supporting that, and put on Ron Dart or K Kansas or somewhere, but it's got to be reasonable. Think about it. You know, but you got to get off your and get out there and look. My friend Geneva and my wife are going to go up to northern Colorado and look around and see if they can't find some stations. They've talked about it, and they will too. We're going to get this thing done. So we had the feast. We had it in the Grand Vista. I think a couple times, and we had it down at Durango a couple years ago. That was fun. Two Rivers last year, and this year we're in Wine Country Inn. And this is our 10th anniversary, and I wanted you to understand how you got here. Long road, complicated, and you look back upon it and said, wow, we had to have some help getting here. We had to have some help. So I answered the first question. So question number two, and this is the important one today. What will you do if there's another scattering of the church? Now think about this. What will you do? So just before the feast this year, I called a friend I've known for 20 years. And we were talking, more than 20. And I said, he said, hey, do you remember our friend? And I'm going to call him Mr. A. Mr. A. We hung out with, and I said, sure. And I said, yeah, he'd come over and we'd watch football games together at our house. Remember that? And he said, yeah, that was fun. I said, yeah, I remember he landed that good job, and then he married that real pretty girl, and she was just a sweetheart. Just a wonderful, they were a good couple. And I said, yeah, you don't know, but we went to football games together. My wife was teaching at Pierce College, and she'd get free tickets. And boy, and the game was on Saturday night. Woohoo! Not Friday. So we could go to the football games. And junior college football is pretty good. They were some good games. So we'd go over there and watch a football game, and then we did some silly things, and we went to the, and my wife remembers this. I remember part of this, and I'm telling you this out of a little regretful, but we would go to the Three Stooges Marathon at the Rialto Theater in South Pasadena, and it starts at midnight. And these people, we'd go to this this marathon, and everybody there had the movies memorized. And whenever the Three Stooges would go whoop whoop whoop, everybody in the audience would go whoop whoop whoop. And believe it or not, it's a lot of fun. We were the oldest people there. We were really old, but it was fun. It was fun. So we had good times. We had good times with them. And we would go have dinner at their house and things like that. And, you know, I was thinking, oh, he's going to tell me they're going to have another child, another blessing, or something like that, or he got that big promotion because he worked a big company. I'll just say a big company. And he worked hard. And he said, no, he said, oh, he quit his job. And he's enrolled in divinity school. And I almost dropped the phone. What the world is he doing? Going to divinity school? After all these years, going to college, an ambassador, helping at church, raising his kids, you know, bringing them up a certain way, his wife. And now he's going to divinity school. Crud. You don't think it can happen? Hey, it happened. Get it? Things will happen. And I'm going to tell you right now, we're all going to be tested. You will be tested. And you just remember, Satan doesn't take a vacation. That won't happen. And as we draw closer to the end of our lives, and as we draw closer to the end of time, it's going to get a little hotter. And you will be tested, and I will be tested. Things happen. You know, we could have inflation, high gas prices, we could have health problems, and hopefully never again another 9/11. That was terrible. So again, what will you do if there's another scattering of the church? What will you do if you can't go anywhere to keep the feast? That's a good question. What will you do? You must be prepared. Now remember, we are here out of necessity. This site, this feast site, was born out of the need to keep the feast. It just didn't happen. We had to plan, we had to figure, we had to have a budget. Thankfully, at the time, my wife is good with numbers, and we had meetings. We had meetings. We'd sit down with people in our little board, and we'd sit down and go through these things. And we did this. We had a meeting, meetings before this feast, and it was just of 2 weeks before Mark. Mark said, we better have another meeting. Call me up. I said, okay, you call the people, and we'll have a meeting. And we did. And we went through some numbers, and he had everything printed out, and we went through everything, how much coffee cost, how much the room cost, the goodies we had the other night. Get it? It takes planning. What are you going to do if it's thrown in your lap? You're going to cop out? You can't. Remember I read you Leviticus 23? So everybody here knows the score. Got it? I know you do. I'm just being hard. Go to Philippians 3 and 10. Starts out, Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ. So, yeah. And you go to 3 and 8. Let's start in 8. I'd like to back up a little bit. I want to make sure we understand. Philippians 3 and 8. But indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. So apparently he didn't have much. You know, he had his friends. If you read along, you knew he had people's houses he stayed in. He says, and I count them as rubbish, that I have made gain Christ. So hopefully we don't have to give up everything, but, you know, stuff happens. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness from which God by faith, which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. And 11, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. By any means. So he's given up a bunch of stuff. And it's just stuff. Think about it. We may be thrown into that. I sure don't want to. I live in a real comfortable place. I'm going to go back and fire up the furnace, and it keeps it nice and toasty for me. And 12, not that I have already attained, but I am already perfected. But I press on. You guys and me, I've got to press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ has also laid hold for me. Not go to divinity school, but you must press on. You know the score. You've been sitting here long enough. And don't play games in your mind. That won't work. Brethren, I do not count myself of having apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press forward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ for the resurrection. So he's saying. But he presses. He goes forward. Can't go back. And neither can I us. We cannot go back. We've got to go forward. I've got another scripture here, Luke 9:57. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke 9. And 57. And here's the story of Christ. And I was going to go through and break this down, but I'm not today. But in 57 it says, "Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, 'Lord, I will follow you wherever you go.'" Wherever. "And Jesus said to him, 'Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.'" So he didn't have a house. He just stayed in people's homes. And remember, they'd give him money. "Then he said to another, 'Follow me.'" So Christ said, "Follow me," just like we were called. "But he said, 'Lord, let me first go to bury my father.' And Jesus said to him, 'Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God.'" What an opportunity. But he felt obligated, probably through guilt, to go home and attend to the needs of his family. But what comes first? I'll ask you that. What comes first? What will you do if we have another scattering of the church? What are your plans? "And another also said, 'Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house.' And Jesus said to him, 'No one,'" and here's the capstone of it, "'having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God.'" We cannot turn back. You're not going to be fit if you want to do a detour and go back. You can't do what my friend did. I haven't called him yet. I'd like to get in contact with him and ask him what in the world he's doing. I don't even know if I'll do that. You, my friends, have choices. And in the future, you'll have more choices, hard choices, because things are going to happen. And if you don't think so, just look around. Read the paper and watch the news for a few days, and you'll do what I do. I throw pillows at the TV set. You know? Things happen. So when you go home now, you press forward, as Paul did. Read those words again. He gave it all up. But you must press forward, and you must think about these things. It's not pretty. It's not pleasant by any means. But we're facing the harsh reality of what has to happen before Christ returns. And you know those scriptures. Elbert gave a wonderful sermon on those things that will happen on trumpets. If you get that CDs, I'm sure you'll get that. It was really good. But these things must happen to the world, and we're part of it. We live here. So buckle on, tighten your seatbelt, as they say when you're flying a plane, tighten that seatbelt, because we have some rough roads ahead, and you'll do fine. Stick close to God. Stick close to Christ. Just don't give up. Don't give up on me or anything. But think about these things. Anita.